The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 414 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on the Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter. Always looking for new followers there. I'm at TheSportsRPT. What a fantastic time of year. The NFL draft is just a few days away. The NBA and NHL playoffs are going strong. You have baseball every single day. And on top of that, Game of Thrones is back. Did you catch the new episode on HBO? I know I did. I was there ahead of time to make sure I didn't miss a single minute of Game of Thrones. I was a little bit late to the Game of Thrones party. At first, I thought, you know, this is kind of some nerdy Dungeons and Dragons type of show. But man, I got into that binge watching to the extreme, got caught up. I flew through 5 seasons and now they're back. First episode of season 6 in the books. I can't put it up there as a sports guy. I'm always ranking things. I can't put it up there with Breaking Bad or The Wire or Sopranos, but Game of Thrones is up there. I mean, it is really, really good. We have a lot of football to get to. Deflategate just will not go away. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's like a bad rash. Or poison ivy. You try all these different ointments, all different kinds of medicine, and the thing just will not go away. That is Deflategate. I'll have the latest. Patriots fans not happy a little bit. More quarterback news. Sam Bradford reportedly wants out of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. He just signed a deal in March. It's April, and he wants to be traded. The Eagles, with Howie Roseman back in control as vice president now that Chip Kelly is gone, they've been wheeling and dealing, make a lot of moves. They got up to number 2 in the draft. Bradford isn't a happy camper when it comes to the Eagles taking a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick, and he wants a trade. We'll get into that. I'm a certified draft geek. I am willing to admit that. And the draft is just 3 days away. I'll take a look at the top 2 quarterbacks in this draft, Wentz and Goff, give you some underrated and overrated players to keep an eye on Thursday night. The Cavaliers and the Spurs got the brooms out in the first round of the NBA playoffs. The Warriors won Sunday's game but lost Steph Curry, and Paul Millsap's 45 points were not enough for the Hawks to overcome Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics. Much more on the NBA and NHL playoffs coming up later in the show. How good was Sunday if you're an NHL fan? 3 tremendous games, each one decided by 1 goal. I was on the edge of my seat for the NHL playoffs on Sunday. So we have a big agenda here on episode number 414 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're with you every Monday, 30 to 40 minutes, high energy, fast-paced sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. That's what differentiates this show from the rest. I am the king of objectivity and captain of reality. I love The Simpsons and Homer J. Simpson. Homerism, though, not permitted on the show. All right, let's start with Deflategate. I hate bringing it up, but it deals with the greatest quarterback of all time. I have Tom Brady number 1 ahead of Joe Montana, so you have to talk about it. And there's, you know, a possible 4-game suspension. So listen, you know, I wish Deflategate would go away, but you have to mention it. A federal appeals court ruled that Brady must serve the 4-game suspension that was imposed by the NFL. This court overturned a lower judge and sided with the league as opposed to siding with the players' union. The ruling came from the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and it states, quote, "We hold that the commissioner properly exercised his broad discretion under the collective bargaining agreement and that his procedural rulings were properly grounded in that agreement and did not deprive Brady of fundamental fairness." The 2-1 decision came down today. The appeals ruling followed a decision back in September by a judge in Manhattan that went against the league and allowed Brady to get off scot-free, no suspension. Now, the NFLPA, the players' union, and Brady can petition for a rehearing in front of the same panel, or they can take their appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, doesn't this sound a little bit nuts? And we're talking about taking air out of a football and this going to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say maybe the Supreme Court of our country has some bigger issues to tackle than Deflategate. Maybe it's just me. And you know Brady wants to fight it. I mean, this guy was furious when that 4-game suspension came down. So he's not just going to let this go. Now, the NFL has the option to implement the full suspension or try to reach a settlement and avoid further appeals. We'll see what happens there. As for the first 4 games for the Patriots, this is how it lines up. They have the Cardinals, the Dolphins, the Texans, and the Bills. If he does miss 4 games, he would be eligible to come back week 5 against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, the Browns can't even get a break here. You know, they can't find a quarterback. They haven't had one since Bernie Kosar. And now, even if the 4-game suspension is upheld, Brady would still be back to take them on in his first game of the season. You know he'd be fired up for that. Oh, the Browns. What can you say? Going back, the league had argued that it was legit for Commissioner Goodell to severely penalize Brady, in part because he destroyed a cell phone containing almost 10,000 messages. And they suggested that that was impeding the league's investigation. Judge Parker said the destruction of the phone raised the stakes from talking about air in a football to compromising the integrity of the proceeding. He said, quote, "With all due respect, Mr. Brady's explanation of that made no sense whatsoever." And I would agree on that. I mean, just destroying a cell phone like that. Now, the point that I've made all along has been, regardless of which side you're on here, or if you think 4 games is too much, the CBA does give Roger Goodell supreme power. He is essentially judge, jury, and executioner. The players' union agreed to the conditions in the CBA. If they're ticked off by this ruling, sorry guys, but you need to take a look in the mirror. It's a little late now to complain about the commissioner's power. You guys gave it to him in the CBA. It's black and white. Remember the saying, always read the fine print? It's in there. You gave the commissioner all of this power. Now you have to deal with it. Suck it up. I mean, it's in the CBA. I don't know what they want. So again, I'm not saying I agree with 4 games. I know that's a harsh penalty. You're talking about a quarter of the NFL season. But you know, I thought all along that Goodell and the NFL were going to win this thing just because that's how it's written in the collective bargaining agreement. And that's on the players. You know, they agreed to it. You can respond on Twitter @TheSportsRPT. The Sports RPT. We'll get to the Sam Bradford news coming up. We'll talk NFL draft, NBA, NHL playoffs. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. They've been with this show for a long time, and we appreciate it. iHome has a new WeatherTough line of Bluetooth speakers. They're waterproof, rust-proof, and military standard shockproof. I mean, these things are tough. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds. If you're a fitness guru, I'm actually trying to get back to going to the gym now that the local basketball season is over. I can finally breathe a little bit. I have a few hours of free time, so I'm going to the gym. If you travel a lot, you like to listen to music, of course, you're into the headphones and earbuds, or maybe you just use them at home when you're hanging out and relaxing. Go to iHomeAudio.com. Look at the headphones, the earbuds. iHome is also the number one brand in digital speakers, so you can check them out. Plus all of the apps and accessories that they have for their products. iHomeAudio.com. The sound quality cannot be beat. And these things look pretty cool too. Take my word for it. iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 414 of the Sports Report podcast. Let's get to the Eagles here. You heard about the blockbuster trade. Five picks go to the Browns. The number eight pick in the first round, a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick in this year's draft, plus a first-rounder in 2017 and a second-rounder in 2018. I'll say this, Howie Roseman better be right about the quarterbacks at the top of this draft, whether it's Wentz or Goff, because if this ends up being a bust, he's going to be out of a job. I mean, you make a move like this and it doesn't pan out, see ya. A Roseman had said that Bradford will be the Eagles' starting quarterback this year. Bradford signed a two-year, $35 million deal in March. Of the $35 million, $22 million is guaranteed. Last week, a source told Adam Schefter with ESPN that Bradford, quote, is hot. Who wouldn't be? This is Philly saying, we don't see you as a long-term answer. He's mad and he wants to show everyone who is best. Well, then today we find out from Schefter that Bradford informed the Eagles he wants to be traded and won't be showing up for any more off-season workouts. So he's gone from being mad to saying, see you guys, I want out of here and I'm not going to come to any more off-season stuff. Oh, boy. It has been a crazy offseason as far as the Eagles are concerned. I'm about an hour from Philadelphia. The radio station where I work, we carry the Eagles, so they are usually the number one topic. No, it's not the 76ers or Phillies. That may surprise you. Although the Phillies are hovering around the 500 mark, and I did say take the over when we played the over-under game. Howie Roseman, we go back to him. He already admitted that they're going to take a quarterback at number two, whether it's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. LA has the first choice, so the Eagles could get one of those two. Now, Roseman and the Eagles are basically telling Sam Bradford flat out that they don't believe he is a franchise quarterback. And I agree with him for several reasons. He's always injured. He's not accurate. Now, this year he was up at 65%, but for his career, he's a 60% passer. Not good enough. And he throws too many interceptions. Turnovers cost you games. It's the most important stat in football. He's an average starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm not saying he's terrible, but he's certainly not great. He's not elite. He was taken number one overall in 2010 by the Rams, and he just hasn't produced. Part of that is he hasn't been healthy. He's okay. You know, he's not the worst guy in the league. He's okay. That's it. A career quarterback rating of 81. This past year, 19 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and he got hurt again. That's the story of Sam Bradford's career. Now, as for trading him, there are two teams that jump off the page. Broncos and Jets. Those are the two that have the most obvious need for a quarterback. The two most obvious potential landing spots, Denver and the Jets. Both are looking for a quarterback. The question is, what are they willing to give up? If it's not enough, the Eagles can say, sorry, Sam, you signed the deal and we want you as our starter. They don't want to throw Goff or Wentz right into the fire. So Bradford is the bridge quarterback. I think they're hoping he plays well and you can trade him, get something back, because they gave up those picks to get the number two selection. Now, they also signed free agent Chase Daniel, who had been the backup for the Chiefs, and he's familiar with Doug Peterson, the new coach, because Peterson was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Daniel got a three-year deal, $12 million guaranteed. So they are acquiring quarterbacks like the Sixers are acquiring centers. What's interesting to me, side note, Cleveland Browns. I mean, they were in a spot to get one of these quarterbacks, and they decided to trade out. Cleveland's had 24 starting quarterbacks since 1999. 24 of them. But the new front office and the first-year head coach, Hugh Jackson, said, thanks, but no thanks. We'll move down. Makes you wonder a little bit about how good these two quarterbacks really are. Because if ever there was a franchise that was desperate for a big-time quarterback, it is the Cleveland Browns, and they have that number two pick, and they move down. They give it to the Eagles. Now, they get, you know, several picks back, high picks, but, you know, if these quarterbacks are that good, don't you take one of them and finally try and get your quarterback after so many disasters? Tim Couch, Johnny Football, on and on and on, guys just that have not worked out. Your thoughts, always welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT. Moving along on episode number 414, the NFL draft quickly approaching. I cannot wait for Thursday. I love the draft. I really, really do. And the guy that I turn to for information on the top players is Dan Shanka. Dan was a scout for the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Chiefs, so he has NFL experience. He's involved in player personnel work for more than 40 years on all different levels. He is on the committee that selects players for the East-West Shrine Game, and he's the general manager of Our Lads Scouting Services. Their draft guide is 92 pages. It's pure information, no pictures, no fluff. It is awesome. If you are a draft geek like me, it is a must-have, a tremendous resource of information. You're going to get reports on offensive linemen who are going to go in rounds 6 and 7. I kid you not. I mean, guards and centers that are going to go late in this draft, and they will have detailed reports on these players. It is amazing. The website's very good, too. It's ourlads.com. That's spelled OURLADS.com. I had Dan on my radio show last week, and I wanted to pass on his thoughts because he's the expert here. This is a guy who does this for a living. He's not one of these wannabe draft gurus that really only talks about the draft in March and April and a little bit in May, and that's it. This guy does this year round. This is how he puts food on the table, and he's done it for over 40 years. So I really value his opinion. First and foremost, you know, because we all know how important the quarterback spot is. It is the marquee position in all of sports. I asked him if there's a significant difference between Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. And he said no. He likes both quarterbacks, similar to last year when he had Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Our lads gave Wentz a slight nod because he's bigger. I mean, that's really what it came down to, the size. Wentz is 6'5", 237. Goff is 6'4", 215. They rated Wentz, the top quarterback, at 9.7. on a scale of 1 to 10, Goff 9.65. All right, that's how close it was. Both are great students of the game, both good people off the field. Their reports say that Wentz graded out as the number one quarterback athletically at the combine. He played in a pro formation in college, and he's mobile for his size. I mean, you think 6'5 and between 235 and 240, but he actually moves better than Goff. Goff is not a mobile quarterback. He did not play in a pro-style system. Cal uses the air raid offense, which is a spread attack. So he wasn't under center, similar to Paxton Lynch of Memphis. But Goff did face better competition than Wentz. He throws the ball accurately. He throws it on time. He reads his progressions well. I mean, he is your classic drop back pocket type of quarterback. Again, they like both of these guys a lot. As for Lynch, who's a tall quarterback, 6'6", 6'7", he is their third-rated QB. They gave him a 9.1, followed by Dak Prescott from Mississippi State. He's at an 8.8, and then Kevin Hogan from Stanford at 7.8. I think Hogan is being overrated by some media bobbleheads. I think he's a great guy. I mean, he's a captain. He's a leader. He's tough. I just don't know that he has the physical tools to play and be very successful at the NFL level. Maybe he's a career backup. I don't see him as a starter. You know, watching Stanford, you know, they like to run the ball, big offensive line, power sets. He was okay. Just didn't wow me. And if you're not wowing me in college, I don't think you're going to do it in the NFL. Our lads only gave Connor Cook from Michigan State a 6.8. They have him as their seventh best quarterback. Just not accurate. Never over 59% for a single season during his career with the Spartans. And they don't like Christian Hackenberg much at all. 5.4 is what he got on a scale of 1 to 10. He is their number 10 quarterback. Again, accuracy was the issue there. 56% for his career at Penn State. Now, Hackenberg has the size. You look at him, you think there's an NFL quarterback, and he does have some tools, but you need to be accurate in the NFL. Talk about it all the time. John Gruden, on the other hand, he said that Cook may be the best quarterback in this draft class, better than Wentz, better than Goff. And he also really likes Hackenberg. But the question with Gruden is, who doesn't he like? You know, that's why I respect our lads and the job that Dan and his staff do. They are very, very objective. They don't have a horse in the race here. They're not looking to please anybody. They're just giving you their honest reports. I asked Dan for some overrated and underrated players in this draft. As for overrated, he gave me two guys from Ole Miss. Offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil and defensive lineman Robert Kemdichie. Dan said that suggesting that Tunsil is the number one player in this draft is a joke. And before LA moved up to the top spot, a lot of the mock drafts that you saw had Tunsil going number one overall. He said, if you want someone for Dancing with the Stars, take Tunsil. If you want someone who can block and who's a true football player, take Ronnie Stanley, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Those are his words, pretty strong words. They rank Stanley as the number one offensive tackle in this class, not Tunsil. As for Kemdichie, this guy out of high school, I mean, everybody raved about him, and he does have great measurables, the size, the way he can move, but Dan told me he would not take him with a seventh round pick. He called him overhyped, a problem, an underachiever, inconsistent, poor technique. You get the picture. Kemdichie was suspended for the Sugar Bowl. You remember this story. He fell out of a window at a hotel in Atlanta. He was charged with marijuana possession, failed a drug test. Risky, risky pick for whoever takes him. The two underrated players that Dan mentioned were Artie Burns, who is a defensive back from Miami, and Kenny Clark, a defensive tackle from UCLA. Burns is a press cover guy. He's a physical corner. 6 interceptions last year for the U. Clark was the Bruins' second leading tackler. 75 tackles from the defensive tackle or the nose tackle position. That is impressive. Normally those guys are just asked to kind of take up blocks. He's a former wrestler. Very, very tough against the run. He's about 315 pounds. Clark started 29 consecutive games at UCLA. So two guys to keep an eye out for, Artie Burns and Kenny Clark. The RLADS overall rankings are very interesting. Their top two players are both defensive ends. They have Oregon's DeForest Buckner as the highest rated player at any position. They gave him a 9.85. Joey Bosa got a 9.8. Dan just loves Buckner. He's 6'7". He's about 290. Huge hands, long arms. And he's not, you know, a stick in the mud at that size. He was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. 83 tackles, 17 tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks last year. I love that productivity. In their scouting report, it says, quote, "Eats up blockers like a Pac-Man video machine." I love that analogy there. As for Bosa, you've heard more about him. He was at Ohio State. Great competitor, a power player. He was a stud for the Buckeyes. Not as productive this past season, but I think you saw a lot of double teams, got chipped a lot by running backs and things like that. He was the focus of everybody. Their top five overall goes like this. Buckner, Bosa, and I haven't seen anyone put Buckner number one, by the way. They have Jalen Ramsey, the corner from Florida State, third. Miles Jack, the linebacker from UCLA, fourth. Some questions about his health. And then Ronnie Stanley of Notre Dame, fifth. I want to touch on the running back position for a second here. I am a big fan of Ezekiel Elliott, who played with Bosa at Ohio State. Complete back. He's got sprinter speed. He blocks very, very well. He can catch it out of the backfield. He can do everything. He can do it all. But some NFL teams don't value running backs, period. They just will not take a running back in the first round. And going back to Howie Roseman, the vice president of the Eagles, at the NFL owners meetings, he said, quote, "There's this narrative that you can get running backs in the 5th, 6th, 7th round and undrafted free agency. But when you look back at the last 10 years of guys that are really in the top 10 in rushing, those guys are high picks." So I did that. I look back at the running backs taken high in the draft over the past decade. And Howie, for the most part, is wrong. Now, 2015, Todd Gurley went 10th overall to the Rams, and he played really, really well. Rookie of the year, 1,100 yards, 4.8 a carry. He had 10 touchdowns in 13 games. So Gurley looks like a player, and if you saw him in college, that's not a surprise. 2013, 2014, not a single running back went in the first round. Not one. 2012, Trent Richardson, number 3 to the Browns. Classic bust right there. 2011, Mark Ingram, number 28 to the Saints. 2010, C.J. Spiller went number 9 to the Bills. He's an electric back, but trouble staying healthy. Ryan Matthews went number 12 overall to the Chargers. He is now in Philadelphia. 2009, Noshon Moreno went number 12 to the Broncos. Again, not a star. 2008, Darren McFadden went 4th overall to the Raiders. Finally, 2007, you get a superstar in Adrian Peterson, who went 7th overall to the Vikings. And 2006, Reggie Bush went 2nd overall to the Saints. He's never lived up to all the hype coming out of USC, and people were comparing this guy to Gale Sayers. So that's the last 10 years as far as the top running backs in the draft. I mean, you know, outside of Adrian Peterson, and we don't know for sure yet on Todd Gurley. He's only played 1 year. But there's no one on that list that you would say, wow, that is a superstar, perennial all-pro player. Not one in a decade at the running back position. So I'll ask you, and you can respond on Twitter, I hope you do, at the Sports RPT. Would you take a running back in the first round? Ezekiel Elliott's going to be there, I think, is a top 10 pick. But some teams, some owners, GMs, they say, nah, we'll pass. We'll get a guy second, third, fourth round, day two, day three of the draft. You know, you look at the careers of running backs 2, 3, 4 years where you can get an offensive tackle, let's say, they may play 10 years in the NFL. Short careers for running backs. Take a beating. But let me know what you think about that draft strategy, passing on running backs. I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. This is episode number 414 of the Sports Report podcast. Keep those 5-star reviews coming in the podcast section of iTunes there if you listen to the show that way. Of course, you can always listen on the Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. grizzlyproductions.tv. And all of my previous shows there as well. So you can go back, get caught up on everything. Let's get to some hoops here. Golden State blew open a game in Houston that was tied at halftime. The Warriors scored 41 in the third quarter. Unbelievable. They make it look easy at times. They made an NBA playoff record 21 three-pointers. 21. And they took care of the Rockets 121-94. They're up 3-1 now. But, and this is a Fat Albert size but, it's not that Golden State's up 3-1. The story here, Steph Curry, who did not play in the second half. He slipped on the court. He sprained his right knee. He grabbed that knee immediately, which you hate to see, and he could not go. He wanted to, but they would not let him play in the second half. He was scheduled for an MRI today. There was no word yet on the results of that MRI at the time that I recorded this show. Golden State is not just about Curry. We know that. You have Thompson, you have Green, you have Iguodala. It's a very, very good team, a deep team too. So this is not a one-man band. But I can't see the Warriors beating the Spurs without Steph Curry. I can't. I mean, you're talking about the reigning MVP, a guy with unlimited range. I can't see them getting by San Antonio if that would be the Western Conference Finals without Steph Curry. Speaking of San Antonio, the Spurs swept Memphis. No surprise there. Grizzlies were crippled by injuries. They did not have Conley. They did not have Gasol. The Spurs took game four, 116-95, 21 points for Kawhi Leonard. How good is he? Zach Randolph said that he is one of the top 2 or 3 players in the league because of what he does on both ends. Great defender. Cleveland swept Detroit. I give the Pistons credit, though. That is a scrappy, hard-nosed, tough squad. They play the game the right way. They play hard every single night. Very little playoff experience, but if you watch this series, they made the Cavaliers earn their 4 wins. Game 4 was 100-98. Reggie Jackson missed a wild shot from the top of the key at the buzzer. He was looking to draw a foul. I thought it was a good no call. Jackson ripped the officials both on the court and then after the court. He can definitely be a hothead. He should have gone to the bucket instead of pulling up for a long jumper. Go to the hole. It was a 2-point game. You want to attack the rim there, not settle for an off-balance jumper. Kyrie Irving had 31. LeBron added 22. J.R. Smith shot very well. He made 5 of Cleveland's 13 three-pointers. The Cavaliers simply the better team. And as I've said from day one, they are going to the NBA Finals. I mean, they're going to go. No one in the East is as talented as Cleveland, and I don't think it's that close. Boston and Atlanta. Even at 2-4, the Celtics prevailed in overtime Sunday, 104-95. The Hawks could not make anything in overtime. They were outscored 12-3 in the overtime period. Paul Millsap went off in this game. 45 points for the big man. One shy of his career high, but Atlanta came up short on the road. Marcus Smart was huge for the Celtics. 11 straight points in the fourth quarter. He had 20 overall. The Hawks were up 16 in the third quarter and blew it. And we know in the NBA, everybody makes a run. Jeff Teague hit a couple big threes with less than a minute to go in regulation. But the little guy, Isaiah Thomas, tied it at 92 with a layup with 15 seconds left. He is so much fun to watch. And he's getting his due now. He was an all-star. He finished with 28, also had 6 assists. Evan Turner, the former Sixer, nice game. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Celtics, one of the great stories in the NBA. Teague shot just 4 of 18. Bazemore, 2 of 10. Korver, 3 of 11. Millsap carried them. If it wasn't for him, they would have got blown out. Game 5, Tuesday at Atlanta. On to the NHL. I mentioned it at the top. Sunday's action was tremendous. It started with Washington and Philadelphia in Philly. The Caps won it 1-0. They end that series in 6 games. They're up 3-0, and the Flyers came back and forced 6 games. The Capitals did not choke. They had a history of doing that in the playoffs. Ovechkin's never got past the second round, as good as he is. Although they struggled, they won the series, but they struggled to beat Michael Neuvirth, who was standing on his head, hockey term, after replacing Steve Mason in goal. This was a physical series, a lot of big hits. Now the NHL gets what it wants, Ovechkin versus Crosby, Washington and Pittsburgh. That should be a heck of a series. Then the Stars on Sunday, they held off the hard-charging Wild 5-4 to take that series in 6. Dallas was up 4-0 through 2 periods. Many of you probably turned it off. Minnesota roared back. I'm more of a hoops fan than a hockey fan. I couldn't turn this game off. I was watching it with my dad. It was exciting. 4 goals in the third period for Minnesota. The fans in St. Paul went bonkers, and Minnesota almost tied this thing with 30 seconds to go. The puck was not quite fully over the goal line. The whole puck has to be across that goal line for it to be a goal. But wow, was that thing close. A phenomenal finish to that game. And then in the nightcap, the Islanders ended their long drought with a thrilling 2-1 double overtime victory versus the Panthers. John Tavares was the hero. He tied the game in the last minute of regulation, and then he had the game-winning goal midway through the second overtime period. The Islanders had not won a playoff series since 1993. Can you imagine that? A franchise like that with so much history going back to the early 90s, but they get it done. So that's another great storyline in the NHL. Man, that was a good day of hockey. So you can weigh in on the NBA and NHL playoffs. Who do you like? Who do you think's going out soon? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the NFL draft. I'll talk a lot about that on next Monday's show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep spreading the word, listening in the podcast section of iTunes and on the Grizz. This has been episode number 414 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.